Yes to Life show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, host for the show and founder of Yes to Life, the UK's integrative cancer care charity, the place where people with cancer can find out about the many ways they can improve their quality of life and their outcome using integrative medicine approaches. My guest this week is a regular on the show and someone who's been at the very heart of the integration movement in the UK for several decades. Patricia Peat is the founder and principal of Cancer Options, a consultancy helping people formulate their treatment strategies. Patricia, fabulous as ever to have you back on the Yes to Life show.
Hi, Robin. Yes, thank you for asking me yet again.
So today, I want to find out about a new course for people with cancer that I hear you've been hatching. It all sounds very curious, possibly a good description given what I've heard. Can you tell us what it's called and why it's called that?
Right. Well, this course, which I've been hatching in my head for many, many, many years, it's called Alice in Cancerland. And Alice in Cancerland is a phrase I came up with so many years ago.
I remember you using that one, yes.
I get boring. I've been quoting it for years. But it just struck me, when you're sat having a conversation with somebody who's come into the oncology stroke integrative world and is sat there listening to their oncologist and then listening to a metabolic practitioner and listening to a nutritionist, and everybody's sort of contradicting each other, and one person saying that's nonsense, and someone else saying, well, that theory isn't true. And they're realizing that there's so many different things happening going off around them that the feeling of being Alice in Cancerland was just something that's, you know, sort of struck a chord with me. And whenever I used it, and I do use it frequently with clients, and you can just see the light go on and go, yeah, that's exactly how I feel. You know, I feel like I've fallen, you know, down this rabbit hole. The metaphors of Alice in Wonderland, where literally the ground moves beneath your feet.
Right.
Platonic plates that are everything. I love the word discombobulates.
Yes.
And everything becomes reframed in a very strange way. And I, you know, when you study the book and the story, and also the layers behind the truths and everything, it just seems to be a wonderful metaphor that I think people can feel grounded in, because it's supportive of that feeling of everything's changed and I'm in a different world.
Yeah, well, I spend a lot of time on this show, of course, speaking to people about the experience of receiving a diagnosis of cancer. And yeah, I describe it as being like being dropped on another planet, where everything from the language on is unfamiliar, scary, and potentially untrustworthy. So you've been working in this field for decades now. In fact, I've got to say, there are few people in this country who've got more experience in the whole sphere of integrative oncology than you do. And throughout that time, you've been supporting people in coming to terms with their situation and helping them to plan a way forward. So you really know an awful lot about what they face and the reasons that they look beyond conventional care for answers. So what are those reasons and how will your course look to help them?
Right. Well, the second one's a big answer, really. Well, the reason that people come into this area are, for every single aspect that you can think of in terms of not receiving validation for the feelings, not receiving validation for the efforts in wanting to look after themselves, not receiving any kind of equilibrium from the medical world in terms of, yes, you know, we hear you, we understand what you're trying to do. So from that, people start to, you know, as I say, you know, the three most important words you can use when you're sat in front of an oncologist and they're sort of giving you the, you know, whatever news you're getting, is that it? Are you sure that's it? Because I believe there might actually be more that I can do for myself. And from that, You know, we then move with people to a place of where, yeah, you know, they start to learn about what are the aspects that they need to find out for themselves. So on one level, it's looking at those kind of emotional needs and the physical needs of how they can feel safer. But then, as you know, and I know, and the practitioners who work in this area know, when you actually start to then study the actual science behind it, and we evolve and peel back the layers of the onion in terms of how cancer works as a metabolic disease, then what people are doing is actually pushing the boundaries of how we deal with cancer altogether. And, you know, that's so important that they start to learn to empower themselves with that knowledge. And, you know, the reason why I've kind of come up with this course is, if you look at, as you say, over the many, many, many years, you and I have been pushing the boundaries here. It's been fantastic, I think, the last sort of 10 years to see the development in different scientists, different researchers, Mark Linton, Jamie McClellan's, Nisha Winters, all operating at this brilliant level of providing evidence, of providing case studies, of providing theories, in Mark's case, of why the metabolic process is something to be taken seriously in cancer. Why that is something that absolutely should be taken seriously. So on that level, that's terrific. Nisha Winters in particular has developed methods of training practitioners to think very methodically, teaching them how to work very carefully and to a scientific test assess. I'm doing this in a not American accent.
Yeah, right.
Test assess. Club two.
That's a famous saying, yes. Test assess, address.
Test assess. Okay, sorry, Alicia. so, and then you've got, you know, we have the around the world and in the UK, we've got colleges, etc., different places that are training practitioners to work very safely, very methodically, using nutraceuticals, using exercise, using nutrition, repurposed drugs, etc. So all that is taking place at that level, and that's fantastic. We've also got all the genetic side, so people can get their genes analyzed. So we've got a whole layer of evidence of testing of different ways that people can scientifically and methodically choose their plot their way forward. So much more than before. I was joking a couple of weeks ago that, God, it used to be much easier. You just tell people to go and get a load of exercise and eat the broccoli.
All right.
And my job will be done. And here we are, quite literally swamped under tons of information for everybody.
Yes.
And it struck me that the thing that we're missing is a layer of education, of access to information for people to understand all this before they even, you know, start their journey.
Entry level.
Entry level, yeah, to kind of give like an encyclopedic availability of information about what everything actually means. You know, that brilliant book we did, Robbie.
The Cancer Revolution, yes.
Yes. So, I mean, you know, 10 years ago, it was a different world.
It was. It was. Yeah. And, you know, that book is good basic information. And I don't think there's anything wrong with what it's saying now. It's not like it's all changed, but it's just there's a lot more.
Yes, exactly so. A lot of the fundamentals still hold very strongly from that. And it's surprising, you know, even now how often people say to me, oh, yeah, I read that. And you can see it got the cogs turning.
Right.
You know, it got the thinking going that, yeah, actually, this actually makes sense, et cetera. But there's so much more now.
Mm.
And Alice in Cancerland is going to be looking at how to, first of all, ground yourself in terms of finding the ground beneath your feet and how to base yourself. And what I really want to get across to people is how to keep coming back to develop a whole method of how to work through this, of how they actually ground their vagal nervous system, how they prevent themselves getting too stressed, how they think about this as the place to come back to as they venture into cancer land. Because, as we know, one of the more negative aspects of the fantastic amount of information people can get is it's completely stressful. And it's confusing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and people get very stressed and worried about making the wrong decisions. So I want people to have daily practices of coming back and sort of saying, okay, so, you know, I've got my nutrition pretty good. I've got my basics really good. I'm going to do my vagal nervous practice. And I'm going to really ground myself. And then I will step out into cancer land in the way that I can manage and come back and ground myself again. Because it's so, you know, I've one thing I've come to really have respect for over the years, having come from a very medical background, is it's not just the, oh, look, this works on this cell line and here's this new treatment that everybody's trying that's exciting. If people are not regulating their nervous systems, if they're not getting the basics right, then they're not going to be able to process information. They're not going to be able to function well. Functioning well is the first rule of cancer land.
Absolutely. That leads me straight into a plug for this year's conferences, of course.
No way.
Yeah, reclaiming our true nature. Really on that topic, and the thing that interests me greatly about it is, of course, you're right, there's the case for the fact that making good decisions coming from a nice even keel when you're trying to find a way forward in very difficult territory, it makes complete sense. But I think also we got added to that now is just the actual physical benefits, the benefits to our well-being of those practices you were just talking about, that actually they're foundational to us getting well. This is what's coming out of the science, which I think is really exciting. And so they're not nice to have add-ons. They're actually the foundation of getting ourselves well.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, you know, the spotlight's coming round on that more and more now.
Yeah. And it is a funny cancer man situation, isn't it? When someone's sort of going, you know, I've been told I've got a life-threatening diagnosis and I'm absolutely terrified and I'm looking at all these big treatments and this isn't, and I'm going, first of all, we need to attend to your vagal nervous system. Are you mad?
Yeah, right. The house is on fire. It seems weird that we've come to that, but it really seems to be true. And and this science begins to account for some of the extraordinary things that people achieve, because so often it involves a radical turnaround in their mindset, in their psychological outlook, in their emotional outlook, and spiritual even, that brings them to a place where they're one-pointed. Everything in them is focused on the fact, right, I'm going to get well. And they have that kind of level-headed determination that you can't knock them off. And that seems to be an essential ingredient of some of the extraordinary stories that we hear regularly.
Absolutely that. And yet, when you're, you know, and people are learning that they've got to, you know, look after their immune function, the digestion, the hormone regulation, the metabolic stability. But actually, stress physiology knocks them out completely. So you've got to start with the stress management in order, you know, in order to lean into the other things, that they're not peripheral at all. They are the center.
Yeah.
Around which all of this actually builds. And one of the things that, you know, I'm focusing on, this is going to be a very big course by the time it finishes. We're going to have the rollout, but I'm intending to cover everything. I'm going to be looking at, so, okay, let's explain to people, you know, what are metabolic tests? What does detoxification mean? What does methylation mean? What do they literally mean to the person looking at them? And how important are they? And then in the context of the individual cancers, how do they prioritize? There's a lot of time spending on helping people to prioritize where they put their...
That's such an important topic, Alan, I've got to say. That's the whole thing. When you When you start out desperate to survive cancer and you start looking into the world of integrative medicine, it's just this sea of stuff, you know, which, and everything seems to be crucial, you know. It's almost impossible to prioritize. And so to help people with that is absolutely vital.
Yeah, that's exactly kind of what I...
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
When I first get to meet someone, I sit them down, I could, to really cover everything in the way that I'd want to, I could probably talk to them for about 20 hours.
Yeah, right.
And I do have some clients that I think would be quite happy if I did actually sometimes, you know. But that's it, because you never, even working one-to-one with somebody and providing information and stuff, you don't really get to explain everything properly. And I, you know, I'm a big explainer. I love people to understand
right concepts.
And this is me explaining absolutely everything.
Well, it can be very important, particularly to some people. Some people actually don't need explanations. They just need to find somebody they trust and get them to tell them what to do, yeah, and they'll do it. But other people, it's a crucial part of getting behind their treatment.
Well, this is it. And we're developing it in a way as well that we have, you know, it's all very visual. I've got amazing visuals. This is going to be a beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. It's not just a black and white course online that, you know, it's going to have lots of challenging questions for people.
Mm.
I'm going to really challenge people to think, Robin, because, you know, if you're, I'll give you an example, right? This is the sort of thing, you know, as you know, we deal with every day. I've got a client came to me. She's very, very nervous, very worried about working in this area. Lots of reassurance. She's going to have chemotherapy. Worried about what her oncologist is going to say. Anyway, difficult. No, not an easy situation. So oncologists are given quite a negative outlook. So anyway, proceeded to chemotherapy. Chemotherapy went brilliantly because she was doing a lot of things to sensitize, to support herself. She was doing a good job. Oncologist, really, really chuffed, saying, oh, this is a fantastic result. You know, your scan's coming up clear. This has happened so quickly. We're so pleased. And then, you know, about a month or so later, she says, oh, you know, the oncologist says, I'm not to take anything because it might interfere with treatment. I mean, well, can we just look at that sentence there? Because clearly it isn't. And then, you know, and then we get into, she says, well, I'm, you know, I don't want to upset him. And, you know, and I had to really challenge her you know, to sort of say, you know, do you think you can play a part here? Do you think you have a part? Is this you playing a part here? Is this you? Can you potentially take part in your own healing? And there's going to be a lot of exercises for people to do in terms of really asking themselves questions.
That's good.
Yeah. You get thrown off kilter every time. I read, you know, some people will read three words in a report, in a letter from one doctor to another, and it's thrown them completely.
Right. Well, they're very sensitized to all these things, aren't they?
Yeah.
But when you look at it straight on then, you hear somebody saying, oh, well, I don't want to upset my oncologist. And that's balanced up with how much they want to stay alive. You know, it's like, hello, you know, who cares how upset he is? If it's an important thing to do to stay alive, then it's a priority.
Yeah. If he doesn't understand what you're doing and why, that's a shame. But there we are.
Yeah. The other thing, just quickly to say, is that, of course, who's got cancer? Who's having the treatment? Is it the oncologist? No. It's not about them. It's about the patient. Always about the patient.
Yes, absolutely that. And it's completely about looking at who are you and what are you doing in this situation? Who are you that's come into this?
Mm-hmm.
Who's looking at, okay, so when we look back, I can see I've had quite a history of stress and I have things happening and I've been exposed to these toxins. And that's your perfect storm. That's your story. And you are the person who's going to be kind of, you know, unraveling this and making the absolute best of the, you know, the opportunities available. But underneath that, fundamentally, who are you there that, you know, do you believe that you can do this? And, you know, how strongly is your confidence, is your belief in healing going to come through?
Mm, good questions.
Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, for me, it's very important that people do realize that is the part of the journey that they're on. It's not just a case of here's a load of supplements, and drugs, you take these, and let's all cross our fingers and hope. That daily practice is important.
It's that one point in this. Yeah. And very important.
I was going to say another big, sorry, you got 20 hours.
Maybe not quite that much.
Well, another big one as well is, you know, one of the rules, we have rules of cancer land, Robin.
Yeah.
One of the rules of cancer land is no fighting.
Okay.
Fighting in cancer land.
All right. Sounds
what
good.
I mean by that, I don't mean don't beat your fellow patients up. No fighting talk.
Right.
Because the fighting talk, fighting cancer bravely, because a lot of the time people don't feel brave. They don't
feel
like they're fighting. They feel like they're being battered. And they feel very differently to what the fighting talk is saying. And what I think is so important to recognize that, because with my clients, I like to really sort of recognize what they've been put through and what they are going through. Because from there, people feel like they should be feeling or doing something different to how they are doing.
Right.
Yeah. When you look at what happens, the experience for a lot of people is, I'll tell you what I think. I think we've normalized the experience of trauma. So trauma with cancer treatment is normal. Lots of people get diagnosed with cancer. Lots of people get traumatized and get PTSD through the whole experience. But it happens to a lot of people. It's normal. So then they should not.
I absolutely agree. And I totally agree about the fighting talk as well. I think it plays on our worst fears about the story of cancer, which is that it's our own bodies turned against ourselves, which I thoroughly disbelieve personally.
Yes, and, absolutely.
And it's another reason for people who are quite often very unkind to themselves already to be even more unkind to themselves and to be more divided, rather than actually saying, right, it's time to stop. I've been doing things a particular way up to now, but if I want to get out of this, things have got to change and I'm going to take more care of myself and in my health, my well-being, and the cancer. That will be the route out of the mess I'm in, rather than any kind of tough talk.
Yeah, it's rooted in gentleness and self-care.
Yeah.
Compassion. Not not, you know, the more you detoxify, the more you juice, the more you do everything, the better your chance. Another, you know, I think, you know, one can look at areas of where integrative approaches have developed, where that kind of talk and perhaps the guru-led type approaches sometimes, again, leads to if only you were good enough or if only you tried hard enough, look. And that's a complete lack of understanding of the whole psychology and physiology of healing.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a difficult one to avoid that. I think it's a sort of trap waiting in society at all times, which, is we have it in the maximum tolerated dose as being the best way to treat people. You know, find out how much you can give them without killing them.
Yeah.
That's the best. And we have it in, you know, give me everything, doc, to get, you know, I'll take it all to get rid of this cancer. You know, we've had it in heroic surgery in the past where people were left with nothing except a torso. With all these places where good equals as much as you can possibly do. It's a mistake. I mean, it's not true.
No, it's not. And it's the antithesis to, healing mind, body, soul.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've had to have quite, you know, kind of personal learning journey for myself to move away from the, gosh, let's be so scared of cancer that we dare not take our foot off the accelerator.
Right.
Actually, you know, as we were saying at the beginning, you know, looking at the importance of how the, you know, the mind body is an integrative system and everything within that is grounded in regulation and balance and not knocking things out of kilter all the time. So
yeah, absolutely.
And I think when people can really, you know, I have a big interest in how people learn. People don't learn when they're stressed and overwhelmed.
No.
Ask most students. My son's on a course at the moment. I can tell he's not learning well.
Right.
But, you know, we want to build, the course is built from that to then sort of go, okay, so let's look at, you know, what circulating tumor cells are and how chemo doesn't knock them out, for example, and actually regulating the matrix of the body does. And let's look at this. But, you know, from a calm perspective, I'm hoping people will start to really, really learn. So when they choose their practitioners and when they choose their, you know, the outline, their ways that they want to do things, they can do it in a sort of calm and confident manner.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. With you there.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise, elevate your earning potential, Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
There you are, pushing away for this integration for years. And obviously at the start, you thought it had a lot on offer. And I'm just wondering, over all this time, how's your view of that potential evolved? In what ways has the picture changed of what you think is possible with integrative medicine?
That's a great question, actually. I'd have to cast my mind back to, like, you know, we're cracking on for, you know, getting towards 30 years. There's a big change there. I can apply the same analogy to myself. I was like Alice in Cancerland. You know, I was like, oh, this is interesting, and that's interesting, that's kind of a bit weird, etc. But what has emerged from that is, on, you know, in many, many, many different areas, is a basis of common sense, science, understanding how the body works metabolically, and how that can, you know, affect the normalization of tissues, and then the ability to analyze and measure the effect of everything. It's transformed dramatically.
Really changed, yeah.
That, you know, you can really analyze. In fact, you can deal with the cancer situation quite easily and practically from an analysis point of view, allowing you to then work with the person on the mind-body side. So much more.
Interesting.
I think the big issue we have, when people say, why isn't it integrated into the medical world, is I really believe the medical world's got very little idea of how much things have developed.
I think you're probably right. They're not looking. It's very interesting, isn't it? And it's interesting to see how many of the things that 30 years ago probably looked quite strange to you are now actually quite normal science.
I mean, here's a great example, is circulating tumour cells.
Right.
Which, you know, we know that in more integrative medicine, et cetera, that, you know, we can measure those, and just to get an idea of, is there any change in kind of the amount of cancer cells? Is the immune system dealing with them, et cetera? And, you know, you can use that very effectively to give another piece of, you know, another piece of the jigsaw into the puzzle. And so, you know, the medical world has looked at circulating tumor cells as a measure for effectiveness of treatment in the past. But what they found when they did this was that if they found sort of increasing levels of circulating tumor cells, okay, so let's give more chemotherapy, let's give higher levels of chemotherapy. And these are very slow-growing cells that may or may not ever become a big issue. The chemotherapy had no effect on them whatsoever.
Right. Worrying for them.
Well, worrying. So they abandoned all research into circulating tumour cells.
Mm.
But actually, all the evidence shows that what does affect circulating tumour cells is the microenvironment of the body.
Mm.
How inflamed, how toxic, how healthy, etc. That is, that can both control and reduce the amount of circulating tumour cells. And that's why you don't get them offered in standard of care.
Mm, interesting.
It is. It's pure evidence for, if you look after the body's environment, it can control cancer.
Right. So, just speculating a little bit, I mean, you've never sided with the alternative camp that decried all of conventional care. I mean, you've been in conventional medicine yourself. You've seen what it can offer and what it can't. So your recommendations have always been what I call pragmatic, like what's most likely to work for this person in this situation. And, you know, the science over the years of genuine integration, I mean, both together, has come on in leaps and bounds, but is still incredibly difficult to procure in the UK.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of effects do you think a really integrative approach could have on our cancer care in the UK here?
If you were to sort of take it in its absolute and sort of say, okay, you know, have a free run with this.
Yeah.
Oh God, what joy. Well, for first of all, you'd spend time preparing someone before they had treatment.
Right.
So particularly immunotherapy. And you'd spend time making sure that they are, you know, without crazily rushing into treatment based on fear, you would have their immune system in a good place. You'd make sure you get a gut test. You'd make sure that anything that's likely to interfere with treatment is taken out of the way, and that they are, you know, trained and based in mind-body practice to handle the stress of everything. You would then use the best options available to work alongside the treatments to sensitize the cells. You know, as I said, you know, the big elephant in the room for the whole of oncology is, why do all these big, very expensive drugs that they keep coming up with, why don't they knock cancer cells out altogether?
Huh.
Why don't they just get rid of them? If, you know, and, the, you know, as we know, it's because the cancer cells are protectors. So the integration is helping to take the protection away. Like my lady who was very new and got a complete response. That was her work. And, you know, we're looking at what Mark Linton's work now, that, you know, viral pathogens, et cetera, might be causing protection of stem cells. So if you take those alongside, you know, use those processes alongside the actual standard of care treatment, we're seeing people getting fantastic results, going into complete remission.
Mm.
We're also minimizing the side effects so that when the person, say, gets declared, okay, your scans are clear, you're in remission, etc., and there's still the circulating tumor cells, the microenvironment, which is still a mess after cancer treatment, even with good support, you're then repairing it. You're repairing it, you're getting it back on track.
Which is a quite an involved process in itself, which is generally completely ignored.
Yeah, absolutely. Why would you cause that much damage to the body and then just sort of say, right, well, fingers crossed, everyone, let's hope this
works out. Yeah, hope it pulls itself together.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of results, I mean, obviously, you've seen people go through conventional care. You've seen people go through good integrated programs.
Well, it can be, I mean, obviously it varies and there are never any guarantees. I think since, you know, particularly if you put the two joints together, Jeremy Clellan on one side of the blocking of the pathways and how to, you know, sort of take the legs off the metabolism of the cancer, and Nasha Winters of how to repair the body and you know, get complete balance there while minimizing the amount of drugs you use. I think, you know, for most people who are on, who've got a stage 4 cancer and are on standard care treatment, they're looking for a jumping off point. You know, they're looking for a jumping off point because you're always getting diminishing returns. And the potential for the longer you use standard of care, the more likely you are to generate mutation change and resistance. So I think it gives people opportunities to take control. It can give people opportunities to get complete responses that they can then pick up the momentum and run with. And it, you know, for some people who, you know, people who do, you know, say you've got pancreatic cancer or lung cancer, and you're looking at the potential results of standard of care treatments and going, actually, you know, they're not worth me investing my quality of life in, you know, they can do much better.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's the people who are late stage or got a really difficult cancer. There's some huge wins to be made. That's my experience of just watching around. Not very scientific, but I just keep seeing people who shouldn't be here, where you hear a long time later, because they've been very savvy and this is what's on offer, basically.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and when they go, oh, you know, this is fun, you know, they get the rewards for their hard work. They really do. Mm,
yeah.
And it's yeah. I think where we are now is incredible. I think it's a complete game changer.
Right. Okay, well, look, we've got 5 minutes left. Do you want to sort of sum up what people are going to get from your course, what they're going to go away with?
Right, okay, so they're going to get a, obviously, an introduction to Cancerland and to what it all means, why integrative medicine exists, where it's all come from, and what it has to offer. How to work with your oncologist, how to talk to them, how to manage stress, how to ground yourself. And then a whole guide to both the integrative and the medical world in terms of how to read biopsies, how to understand what different tests means, why would you have a gut test, what time would you do it, when is a good time to do it. You know, there's a lot of guide to decision making.
Mm.
When do I invest my time, money, efforts?
Good, yeah.
Into all that. Lots of guides on that. And then we'll be having a guide to each individual cancer. So what, you know, do we know at this particular time as to what are the elements that might, you know, might be contributing to the onset of, let's say, you know, bowel cancer, which is very trendy amongst people these days, unfortunately. What, you know, where are the important points to be? How, you know, what to look at if you're looking at chemotherapy, surgery, what questions to ask.
That's a huge amount if you're breaking it down to cancers and being that specific.
Oh, yeah. This is all going to be out in one go.
Right. Okay, fair enough. So you're going to start with the big ones, presumably.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, that makes complete sense. So and how's it going to be constructed? This is presumably it's all online. And
it's going to be online. There might be a physical book as well for folks. It's going to be online to view. There's going to be workbooks. There's going to be stuff to do. Ultimately, we might, you know, end up going around doing workshops on it.
Right.
Which would be nice to get people together.
That'd be very good. Yeah, because that addresses the isolation of cancer as well.
Yeah.
Find some other people not only got cancer, but thinking like they are, wanting to find out what they can do to help themselves.
Yeah, when you get that, as you know, from the Yes to Life conference, which is fantastic, you get that level of energy and togetherness in a room where your questions get answered. Wow. It's fantastic.
Very important.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Very important.
As you can tell.
Yes, well, great. And how long are people going to have to wait?
I hope to have launched the foundations of everything in about 3 to 4 months.
Well, I'd say summer, really. Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, it will be, won't it? Oh, well.
It will be, yeah.
Yeah. So it's summertime and, and then lots of stuff coming through after that. You know, once we've got our frameworks up and running, we can pretty much add things fairly quickly, and it will be constantly updated.
Yeah.
The joy of being online as opposed to a book, Robin, isn't it?
Well, yes. It needs to be. Let's face it, the rate at which integrative oncology is moving, if it's not, you can't update it, you're out of date in no time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very good. And it may be too early to ask, but how affordable is this going to be for people?
Aiming to make it pretty affordable. Yeah. It's going to be, it's almost going to be like a menu. So broken down into lots of different bits. I want to learn about that bit. There'll be the foundation. There's bits I think people really need to do this bit in order to be able to move through this functionally. But then you'll be able to download something for 25 quid, something like that, you know.
Right, you know, good, so, great.
You know, because people gotta, now I've learned that. Okay, oh, that's interesting. I know that. I'm going to have a look at that now.
Yeah. Good. So nice, you can do it in bite-sized chunks as they come to want to know. Okay, well, that's really good. Okay, last word then. One message you want people to take away from your course that's coming up soon.
Oh, I'm going to have to come up with this now, aren't I? Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
When the ground moves beneath your feet and you fall down the rabbit hole, we will be there to guide you.
Very good.
That's quite good, actually, wasn't it?
Excellent. All right. Well, look, thanks very much for telling us about this. It's an exciting development. You're absolutely right. It's desperately needed. People need some reliable information. They need it prioritized. They need it in stages. All these things they need. And so I'm sure it'll be very well received. And yeah, look forward to its launch.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the opportunity to tell everyone, Robbie. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Find out more about Patricia's work at canceroptions.co.uk and get yourself connected via her mailing list or social media if you want news of her forthcoming course. And if you want to find out more about the Yes to Life conferences that I mentioned earlier, look on conference.yestolife.org.uk, where you'll find the details of the event and also the booking facility. The event has been developed with Dr. Sam Watts of Mind Body Medical, and our speakers this year include Dr. Nasha Winters, Dr. Leo Broomboom, Dr. David Hamilton, Raj Jana, Sophie True, and many more. I do hope you want to join us for one or both events, online in May or in person in September. Many thanks for listening today. You'll find me here again next week with another guest for the next Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.